First of all, thanks for joining us. Secondly, thank you for finally telling me how the hell to pronounce Alberto Gilardino's name.
There you go. Perfect.
Perfect. It's not Giardino. And most importantly, you're going to tell me why this guy who it seems now as if Genoa's accepted Toronto FC's offer, and then it seems like Gilardino was predisposed to coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he not necessarily a good fit for this team, for TFC?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's a great player. I think he's, you know, fantastic player. He's scored like over 150 goals in Serie A, so he has pedigree. But he's a hitman. I mean, he's kind of like a target man up front who needs quality service, and he needs the ball played to him. He plays with his back to the goal, and he's kind of a penalty box poacher. So he needs, you know, quality service around him. And I'm not sure that's the ideal player for Toronto FC, because they don't have anyone who can really feed the ball to him, as opposed to someone like Jermaine Defoe, who they're also interested in, who can kind of drop back in the midfield, can use his speed to kind of run at defenders and create his own chances. So, I mean, Gilardino is a great player, but then you need to sort of surround him with the right players. Otherwise, it's a, you know, there's not much point in bringing him in.
And John, I've got to think that he and his agent have probably asked this question, right? Would it suggest to you that if this develops, that in fact Toronto FC must have somebody else in the hopper as well?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, he's 31, 32. So he's got gas left in the tank, right? So, I mean, and he can easily stay in Serie A and continue out to play his career and, you know, possibly play in Europe, be it in Europa League or whatever. So, you know, he's got a lot to lose here. So you got to think he's not going to come to Toronto unless there's something else in the hopper, that unless they've kind of got something else, you know, planned. You know, if it's just him, then, you know, got to think with the track record, he probably knows what he's been told what's gone on at TFC the last seven seasons. I can't suspect he's going to come here if he's going to be sort of like the only guy that they're bringing in.
John Molinaro joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Why would he come to Toronto FC?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, he makes a comfortable living in Italy, but like a lot of guys, I think they come here, you know, it's a new challenge. It's the North American lifestyle. I mean, you talk to Marco Di Vaio and Alessandro Nesta in Montreal. They absolutely love Canada. Mm-hmm. They love playing here. Nesta, now that he's retired, he's talking about moving to Miami full time, not even kind of going back to Italy. So I think that's a large part of it, is just sort of, it's a different lifestyle. They want to sort of experience North American. This is a perfect opportunity to do it.
And I wonder, as far as the Italian national team aspirations would go, I mean, we had Ryan Nelson on here, and Ryan said, look, you can still... Ryan Nelson thinks the days are gone where coming to MLS automatically means that you're no longer a candidate for your country's national team. Do you buy that, or?
Well, I think it depends on the country. I mean, you know, if we're talking about the Italian national team, I think it's a death knell. Mm-hmm. You know, I really do. You know, if it's a team like the United States or Canada, Mexico, any of the Central American nations, that's fine.
Or in the case of Robbie Keane, I mean, Ireland.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. But a top nation like Germany or Spain or England or Italy, where, you know, they have a plethora of options at home, players playing regular first team football in you know, in the top leagues in Europe, and probably getting competitive games in Europe as well. I think it's pretty well a death knell for you know, an MLS guy.
I'm getting the sense that, you know, we've gone down this road with TFC for a while, right? With guys who, Diego Forlán, we're still waiting for him to show up. But I'm getting the sense, just from reading some of the boards, some of the articles you and other people have written, there seems to be a little more professionalism to this approach on the part of TFC. Would that be the right way? I mean, it seems to be less, this just seems to be playing out the way you would expect it to play out. Or is that...
I think to a certain degree, yeah. I mean, I'm still of the opinion that you should just sort of keep your mouth shut and go about and do your business and not talk about it. And I think the fact that they've kind of, you know, mentioned, oh, you know, we're going to go out and get two DPs and, oh, we're interested in Defoe and everything, I'm not sure that's the best course of action, because then it heightens expectations. Then if you can't bring in these guys, then, you know, the backlash from the fan base is going to be pretty severe. So I think the wiser... smarter move would just be for Tim Leiwicki and everyone just to keep quiet, go about, do your business, and don't feel that you have to. I understand, like, there's a certain need here that they want to keep people informed,
but
I think it's
you want to keep you want to keep tickets. I mean,
sure,
you
absolutely. But I think it's to a certain degree, it's counterproductive.
Is there any way that both Defoe and him are here? Is it either or? Is there any way TFC brings both of them in?
Well, depending on the money. I mean, you know, MLSE have they've loosened the purse strings and they've given them, I think it's like $26 million to spend mm-hmm. here. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Because you could play Defoe behind.
Absolutely, you could. I mean, I think if they can do that, if they can pull off Defoe and Gilardino, I think that's a very effective partnership because they're two different type of players. And it would really give, you know, TFC suddenly the best 1-2 scoring punch in MLS. So if they can do that, then congrats to them. I think that'd be fabulous.
John Molinaro of Sportsnet joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I want to shift focus to the Champions League. I guess Arsenal made a bit of a statement yesterday. I'm not a fan mm-hmm. of saying games or matches or statement matches in any sport, but to beat Borussia Dortmund the way they did, pretty conclusively, 1-0, but still, that's a statement game for Arsenal, isn't it?
I think so. It was impressive. It was a statement game, and it was impressive that the way they did, because Dortmund is, you know, they've kind of mastered the counter-attacking style of, you know, soaking up the pressure and then hitting out on the counter with their opponents. And they got, I mean, Arsenal pulled the Dortmund yesterday, basically.
Yes.
So I think it was impressive in that regard. And winning in Dortmund is not the easiest because that's a very intimidating place to go and visit for both domestic and European competition. So a big win for Arsenal, especially with Manchester United coming up on the weekend. I think mm-hmm. it was a bit of a statement game. I do, and this is such a cliche to say, but I do feel that, you know, it's still too early to kind of give them too much credit because championships, they're not won in November. I mean, you know, this is still way too early. We still don't know how this is going to unfold, but, you know, certainly the early signs for Arsenal are good.
And I mean, they've got Theo Walcott at some point coming back, Lucas
right.
Podolski coming back, Alex, they've got Oxlade-Chamberlain. How do you see Arsene Wenger making all those pieces fit? I mean, I guess if you continue to play in the Champions League, if you go on to the next round in some ways, that's solved for you, isn't it? Because you've got
right.
a lot of matches and
sure.
things are going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt. You're going to have to replace guys. But how is he going to keep, and this seems odd for say this about Arsene Wenger, but how is he going to keep all these guys happy?
Well, it's a sort of dilemma that any top-level coach has to face, right? So I think, you know, if I'm Arsene Wenger and I'm humming along like the way they are now, I don't make too many changes. I mean, why would you sort of fool with this? Mesut Ozil has been, I think, a godsend for the club. I think he's been one of the best players in the Premier League this year. Aaron Ramsey is just playing out of his skin. So I don't think you mess with that. Olivier Giroud is doing quite well. So I don't think he should really tinker all that much. And if he's got to give these guys other playing minutes, then, you know, the FA Cup is coming up in January. Mm-hmm. They're going to get in through that. You know, maybe you rotate them in the league a bit more against the lower level competition, like if they got to play Norwich City. But I suspect that, you know, Arsene Wenger, he's not going to fiddle with it too much because it's just hitting on all cylinders right now.
Aaron Ramsey scoring goals just about every way you can.
Yeah.
Is he that good?
I think so. Yeah, I really do think he's that good. And
people need to remember, he had a pretty catastrophic injury. Was it Shawcross who hit him? I think it was.
I think it is, so, yeah.
But, I mean, he really took him out and did his leg.
Yeah.
Badly.
Which makes all this all the more incredible, the form that he's showing, because it really could have been a career-ending injury. I mean, it was a shocking sort of thing that he sustained. So the fact that he's been able to come back and show this incredible type of form and be so consistent, I mean, he has been probably Arsenal's best player this year. He's just scoring for fun, both domestically and in Europe. So I think it's a great credit to him. And obviously it's a great asset for England because they're going to benefit from this.
John Molinaro of Sportsnet joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. One of the big matches this weekend, you referred to it, Arsenal and Manchester United. I mean, the heat's always going to be in Manchester United. Well, it was going to be in David Moyes the second he took over from Sir Alex Ferguson. I don't think anybody in Manchester United would be particularly happy with what happened in Champions League this week. But what do you see as the short-term opportunity for Manchester United? And by that, I mean, it seems to me, as someone who follows that team a lot, I mean, I think they may be looking at fifth, fourth. I don't think they're going to be anywhere near the top based on what I've seen. Do you think there's still some hope there for them to pull themselves back in with teams like Chelsea and Man City? Because it just seems like there's such a big gap right now
Yeah.
between them.
Yeah, it does.
They just don't have the talent, I don't think.
Yeah, I think they, I mean, two things for me that they didn't really address in the offseason was they didn't get that sort of chief playmaker in the middle of the park that they needed, and they ended up getting Fellaini, who, great player, but I'm not sure he was really what they needed. And defensively, too, I mean, they're still relying on Ferdinand and Vidic, who I think, with all due respect to Ferdinand, has lost a step and has passed it, so they should have really reinforced the back. I still think it's way too early to write them off. I mean, this is, you know, we talk about the Manchester United mystique all the time, and I know Sir Alex Ferguson isn't there anymore, but his fingerprints are still all over this franchise, and he's still, you know, I think his spirit is still there, and he's still at Old Trafford in most games. So I suspect that they're eventually going to pull it together, and they'll challenge for the title. I still like Chelsea. I mean, I think they've been, for me, you know, pretty consistent side, and Arsenal as well. So we'll see.
No, I'm with you. I think those two teams, and, you know, I watched the Chelsea play yesterday, and you know, you've got guys like Willian he's getting regular playing time, but he's not necessarily
crazy,
starting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's remarkable. John, thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
No problem, Jeff. Anytime.